Thank you. Accent and all. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the letter to the Philippians, Philippians and the first chapter. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, give grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes. And I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The Church of Philippi was founded by Paul. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 40. And then he returned again, and that is recorded in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And that was about 5 years later. And now, 10 years later, he's writing to them from prison. I'm always fascinated by the first assembly in Philippi. I mean, think of its founding members. A businesswoman who sold purple dye and purple clothing. Fashion, a fashion person. And then a teenage girl who had been demon-possessed. Now there's a contrast. And then a Philippian jailer who was a tough guy. Can you imagine the three of them coming together to break bread in the name of the Lord? Well, the work grew. God wants his works to grow. And so now you will notice that the apostle is writing to a number of people. He says, first of all, that he's writing to the saints, those who, according to the Greek word, are separated ones, not merely separated from the world, but separated unto God. There is a move away from the world system to the system ruled by Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus. One of the religious religions that comes under the name of Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church, they elect saints. They have to have done a miracle, and they are discussed, and finally the Pope decides to call them saint someone or another. But the Bible says if you are a Christian, you're a saint. You are separated unto the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are a separated one. You don't have to be the most holy person in the world to be a saint. You simply need to have received Jesus, and you're a saint. And so I trust that most of you are saints of the Most High God as I face you this morning. But then there are overseers. In some of our translations, it calls them bishops. The Greek word is episkopoi, which is where we get our word episcopal church. And they have bishops over several churches, whereas the Bible teaches that they have several bishops or overseers over one church. So there is a biblical distinction. The overseers or bishops in this church, who are also presbyters. The word is presbyteroi, and that gives the Presbyterian Church its name. Well, presbyters are overseers, and bishops are overseers. They're the same thing. And then to deacons, those who function in the church in various ways that may not be of a pastoral nature. And this is the group that Paul is writing to from prison. He's in the Praetorium guardhouse, and he is writing out of great love for these Philippian people. I was once on my way to Timmins. Some of you know Ralph Carr and the people of Timmins, and I was flying up there on one occasion, and who should I meet in the airport coming back from ministry but a ministering brother who had suffered very greatly because of certain things that had happened in his life. He was criticized greatly. And he said to me, "Arthur, where are you going?" And I said, "To Timmins." "My Philippi," he said. "My Philippi." He had been comforted by this church, Grace Church in Timmins, and he could call it his Philippi, just as the Apostle Paul here had a great love for the people of Philippi. Look at some of the verses. And by the way, I like people to have their Bibles open to make sure that I'm doing what's right and saying what's right. If you look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, what does it say? They searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. What things? The things that the Apostle Paul preached. And if they had to check up on him, you'd better check up on me. And I don't mind whether you have a Bible like this or an iPhone, because I know you can look that up too. And I don't judge you, and I don't think that you're playing games when you do that. Look at verse 4 of our chapter. "Always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy." Here was a man of prayer. I regularly, with my wife, have devotions, and we go through the MSC 31-day prayer list, and then I come here and I find this, and I'm thrilled that you produce this requests for prayer, and I hope that you take one and pray for the people that are recorded here and whose letters are printed. "Every prayer with joy," he says, verse 4. Then at verse 5, he goes on, "I pray for you because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." We are partners. I am standing here 6 feet above contradiction, I suppose, but I'm so glad that many of you have expressed that you are partners with me in the gospel and you're praying for me. And to the extent that you pray for those who stand here, to that extent you will be blessed of God and he will move and work in your hearts. And here, as I say in the fifth verse, he considers these people partners in the gospel. We are together. We are not individuals alone, but a partnership together, a body, as I shall say a little later on. Verse 7, he is even more intimate with these people. Listen to what he says in verse 7. "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart." Isn't that intimacy? Can you, as you think of the person next to you, just think of the person next to you, do you hold them in your heart? I saw one man in love with his wife who gave her a smile and she smiled back, you know. But it's not only our loved ones, not only our relatives that we have in our heart. Paul says, "I have you all in my heart." It goes even deeper. And this is why I am a little bit against speed reading. I know that there are brilliant people who can do speed reading. But I once came across a book, the title of which has stuck with me, even though I didn't read it inside. I just looked at the title, "How to Read Slowly." And you see, you need to read slowly as you look at these four things. It's very easy just to have read through those verses. But if you read slowly, you will find not only that he prays with joy for them, not only does he consider them his partners, not only does he hold them in his heart, but in verse 8, he says, God is my witness. God knows my heart, and he knows how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Ought we not to learn from verses like this and say, am I loving the saints of God in the way that Paul gives us here as an example? Now, I must say to you, you don't have to like everybody. There are certain people that it's very difficult to like, isn't it? I once read some psychology that says you will probably find that the people you dislike have the habits that you have. I dislike people who talk too much. That's because I talk too much, you see. But we need to have this intimacy with others. We can't like everyone, but we must love everybody, because love is in the will, not merely in the emotions. Now, if I were to say to my wife, I love you, that wouldn't mean much, I realize. What would impress her is the fact that I bring some flowers on her birthday. There's a practical, willful love to her. And the great thing I have to do to show love to my wife is to listen to her. So take that, husbands and wives. Listen to one another. Here then is this great apostle speaking of these saints of the Most High. I said that I would say more about saints, and it's very interesting that the word saint means somebody who is in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, by the way, is used 48 times in the New Testament. In Christ. If you're a Christian, if you're a saint, you are in Christ. In Christ Jesus is used 34 times. And further, in the Lord, 54 times. So as Christians, we are in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is, first of all, our federal head. Adam was the federal head of all humanity. We all descended from Adam, and his sin is imputed to us. That's what we call in the Christian theology original sin, because we were born in sin. I remember holding my son as he came out of my wife's body. I was holding him there, and with a Q-tip, I was sort of getting the mucus out of his mouth and his nose and praying that he'd become a preacher. He hasn't, but he preaches with his life, looking after his wife who has multiple sclerosis and is permanently in bed, so he's preaching. But I had this amazing thought. This little baby is going to lie to me. Now, isn't that an amazing thing to think, as you hold your baby in your arms and you say, he's going to lie to me. Of course he was going to lie, because he didn't become a sinner when he first lied. He was a sinner, and that's why he lies and does everything else. I never had to teach my children how to lie or to cheat or to do any of those things. It all came naturally, because they're under the federal head of Adam. But if you read places like Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll read these wonderful words that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You expect me to be a bit different, don't you? So let me be a bit different. I hope you like Handel's Messiah. And Handel's Messiah has a wonderful moment where the choir says, as in Adam, all die. And it's rather mournful. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Can you see the difference? As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I'm sure I'm a bit different from some of you. Well, you already know that. And I didn't really spend much time listening or watching the Raptors win the great award that they did. But those of you who did, can you remember seeing We the North plastered all over the place? We the North. Now, it was really the Raptors, not we. And when you said, we won, you didn't do a thing to win at all, did you? But you see, your representatives, the Raptors, did the job, and they did it, as it were, on your behalf. And when Jesus died, he did it on our behalf. And we win, as we were singing, the victory. How can we have the victory? Because he had the victory. That's the great truth. We are in Christ. I helped somebody with renovations, looking over the Malivois winery, and there are thousands and thousands of vines. And they come out of the ground, and then they are trained on the trellises. And Jesus said, I am the vine. That's the whole thing, right? But he says, we are the branches. You see, we are a part of the vine. He's the vine, and we are a part of him because the branches are in the vine. The branches are a part of the vine. Or, I think I have some French in me because I wave my arms a lot. My daughter hates my preaching because she doesn't like my arms, but I can't help it. But I'm a body, and my arms do certain things because they're a part of my body. Jesus is the body, the church, and we are members one of another. So he says, I am the vine, and I am the head of the church, and we are the members of the body. And that's what Paul is speaking of here in this great opening of Philippians chapter 1. We belong to one another. Verse 5, because of your partnership. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way because I have you, hold you in my heart, as I've been saying. And then in verse 27, it goes on to say, only let your manner be of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Have you captured that it's we who are involved in this great ministry? Not certain people who are gifted in the church, but we all are members of the body. Now the apostle goes on, having said all this, to remind us of one of the great doctrines of the Bible, the sovereignty of God. And we see this most explicitly, and this will help us when we have to ask why. It's not wrong to ask why when some problem comes up, but there is the why of faith and the why of doubt. And we need to come to God, not just shrug our shoulders, but to say, why is this happening to me? Why? What are you seeking to teach me in this that you are doing? Now, Paul is in prison, of all places. In prison. And how do you behave when you're in prison? I'm sure you can ask why. But do you get all upset because you're in prison? He didn't. And I'm reminded of Richard Wurmbrand, a Jewish stockbroker. Now, that's a great position to be, isn't it, in the world, to be a Jewish stockbroker. And he became a Christian, and he spoke against communism, and he was in and out of jail for, listen, 16 years. Why would God allow him to be in prison for 16 years? He was tortured. In fact, he wrote a book, Tortured for Christ. And there is a movement called Voice of the Martyrs, which carries on his ministry. And there are 3.5 million people helping now as a result of what happened to him as he functioned in prison. And this is what he says. The guards used to beat us if we talked about Jesus. So we were both happy, he said. We Christians were happy to talk about Jesus, and they were happy to beat us, so we both win. Now that's faith. Don't forget, they're not sitting comfortably in pews. He was in jail, being lashed, because he loved Jesus enough and people enough to tell them the saving truths of the gospel. I'm going to give one or two illustrations here about God's sovereignty when we don't fully understand the whys. The great apostle to Islam who went to what is now Myanmar and was called Burma was educated in Minnesota in the States. He went through various seminaries. I think the final one was Rutgers, and he got a doctorate of divinity. And he was on his way to Burma via England. But England was at war with France. And his boat was captured by the French. And they put him in jail for 2 years. Now, why would God have a man go into jail for 2 years when he was really wanting to go to Burma and translate the scriptures, which he eventually did, because God was dealing with him in the jail in France, and later he was able to translate the whole of the scriptures into Burmese and ultimately see souls saved in that country? And there are still places. There is a place called Tachilik School, where it's a Christian school overseen by Christians in the midst of the Buddhists and the Muslims. Christ is being honored because that man was disciplined by God to do the work that he did. There was a great preacher in Methodism in England called Sangster. What's the worst thing that could happen to a preacher? He lost his voice. We don't know why. But I remember one of my Shantiman colleagues, Ralph Smith, giant of a man. We'd be up when he was in his 70s, up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going to bed at 11 o'clock at night, visiting prisons up there in the north. And one day he was visiting his daughter, and he had normally been in a bedroom, and there was a bathroom across the way. And on this occasion they'd had renovations, and instead of going into the bathroom, he fell down the stairs and broke his neck in two places. And I visited him in the Calgary hospital, and he was virtually motionless. I think he could just move his hands about like this. And he used to give out the Shantiman paper, an evangelistic paper. And he said to me, "Art, you'd better stop sending the Shantiman until I get out of here. But when I get out, I'll have more." And believe it or not, he got out. He was in a wheelchair, and he had Shantiman papers on his knees, and he giving them out just like this in the malls in Saskatoon. Well, one day somebody gave him a little gizmo that would fix on his wrist, and he signed his name, Ralph, on a typed message that I think his wife made. "Dear Art, I'm praying for you. And I put that little notice up on the wall in my office. And when I was feeling down or frustrated, I'd see Ralph's signature. I'm praying for you. I don't know why God allowed that. All I'm saying is that it spoke to my heart. Many years ago, I challenged a man who was in the army and came close to the chapel where I was ministering, and challenged him to missionary service. And he went through with what was then Worldwide Evangelization Crusade. And on the night that they celebrated his going to the field, he trained, was going to the field in Africa, he drowned in their swimming pool. You say, why? The challenge to our chapel in those days was that six of us went to the mission field as a result of the challenge that came about by Norm Mackinder's death. Why? Well, God wants us to learn from those things that his sovereignty decrees. Here's Paul in prison, and you'd think that he'd say, why can't I get out there and preach? And instead, we find him following the leading of God's sovereign will. Don't forget that right at the beginning of his ministry at Philippi, he had seen God's sovereign good pleasure. He was, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, he wanted to go into Asia. Do you remember? There's nothing wrong in wanting to preach the gospel in Asia. But God said, no. And then he had this vision in a dream regarding Europe. And God had someone say, come over into Macedonia and help us. So God said, not there, but here. But my, oh my, when he got there to Europe, you'd have expected him to say, this is the wrong place. I mean, when you're sitting in a jail with bleeding back with Barnabas next to him, having been beaten for casting out the demon from the young girl's mind and heart and body. Is God making a mistake? He's there in jail. But he had just known the truth. In verse 14 of that chapter, God opened the heart of Lydia. Who did? God did. And so he can say, God opened the heart of Lydia. And then in verse 26, when he was in jail, what happened? God sent an earthquake. So you see, here is a man who understood that God was in control. And now this is a great encouragement to Paul, because he says, even though I'm in jail and there are people preaching Christ out of jealousy and all kinds of wrongful motives, but he says, this is turning to my deliverance, verse 19. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Other people are doing what's wrong, but I'm encouraged that Christ is preached. Do you like Shakespeare? Not much, you say, because you were fed too much at school. Well, there's a Shakespearean play called Macbeth, and this is what he says. Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And Paul says, I disagree, because for to me, to live is Christ, and even to die is gain. Even to die is gain. And by the way, in the 29th verse, he does say this contrary to all the Seventh-day Adventists who believe that when we die, we just go to sleep until the second coming, he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel, and don't be afraid of your opponents, because he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I can't imagine that it would be gain for me to die in this pulpit if I was just going to sleep for another, I don't know, 150 years before Christ comes back. The only thing about dying now that's gain would be I'd see Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Or is that here? And in absent from the body, 2 Corinthians 5:8, present with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. We could sing those hallelujahs that we were singing earlier when we recognize that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I love the Salvation Army's description of death. Promoted to glory. Don't you like that? Promoted to glory, they say. And then finally, in Hebrews 12 and verses 22 and 23, it says we are come to the we have come. Notice the tense. It's not that we're going to be there. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to God the judge of all, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. And in between those two great statements, it says this, to the spirits of just men made perfect. That dear brother who died is with God the judge of all, with Jesus the mediator, and with those people in the middle, the spirits of just men made perfect. Final exhortation in verse 27. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that, he says, whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Such is the Apostle Paul's relationship with the people at Philippi. May our fellowship be of a similar nature as we love one another and seek to tell the world that Jesus saves. Gracious Father, we thank you for the Bible, for its teaching, for its challenge, for the times when it hurts us and makes us realize we, by the grace of God, should live different lives. Grant to all of us that we will be obedient to Jesus, and should there be anyone who is not yet a Christian, give grace for them to say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin and come into my life and use me for your glory. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.